Blog Talk Radio.
Wonderful morning. Good morning to all of you. You know, it's Saturday, February 16th, 2013. Wow. I remember as a kid watching future sci-fi movies and seeing words like 2010, Space Odyssey, and wondering what that would feel like. I guess I'm dating myself, aren't I? Well, this is Dr. Denita Applewhite calling you live from Mesa, Arizona. Palm trees against blue sky. It's actually about 70-something degrees today. Beautiful in February. You know, today we're having quite a discussion about why people don't work. Some people, they just don't want to go to work. And throughout the week, when I put out the broadcast that I was going to, discuss this again, people have been writing in and telling me about different people in their homes, in their lives, that are not working and not going back to school and just not finishing, accomplishing their goals. And so there's a lot to say about why people won't work, and I want you to really listen intently today. Our sponsors, White Apple Institute at whiteappleinstitute.org. We thank our board of directors, all our volunteer staff for putting together a great show, helping us with talking, getting out there in the community and generating donations. You can always donate to keep the show alive and well at whiteappleinstitute.org. Just hit the donate button and it'll help us to stay on the air and continue helping students with resources and services and teachers all around the world. Well, in addition to that, before we close the show today, I'll have some news on vets. If we have enough time, we have a veteran coming on with some news today from the Women Army Veterans Association. If you are or you know a woman vet, and we strongly encourage her to join in with the American Women Veterans Association in her local area. You can find it right on the web. Wow. Well, this is going to be quite a morning because I just can't, this subject of why they won't work, it's just very, very constant. It's in front of me a lot. I mean, look. It's the reason why the work that I do even exists. It's because people set goals. Children set goals. And then as they become adults, they set goals again. It's always a different set of goals. Just about every 5-6 years, we change our goal pattern. And we come up with new things that we want to do. But what happens, something happens in the changeover in our development from children to adults. I'm hoping this morning that we can come to a better understanding of what that is. What is that? What happens? What's that changeover? What's the key to unlock when someone doesn't make it over the mountain or make it over the cliff or make it over to the other side of not only making decisions, keeping those decisions, not only just getting a job, but keeping a job, not only just registering for school or looking at a school catalog, but actually walking through the doors and registering for a class or open up your computer and just look at what's available to you. What stops the adult student from not wanting to go to work? There are some scary things out there. There are. I'm well aware of that. Teachers to our police officers, great job for the LAPD, making sure that the citizens of Los Angeles were safe. I hope they clear up any issues out there. But it was just it's just interesting how there's always stuff going on. The recent trials, murder trials and all of that. And, of course, we can't forget the continuous random violence that we're experiencing in schools. That's making us all very, very jittery. And it makes us, we lose a sense of balance in our lives when everything around us seems very chaotic. I just want to reiterate on an example that I gave, I believe it was last week or a few weeks ago, and I was speaking about the perfect picture of peace, and that an old man in a village started to draw this picture of peace for the king of the village, because that's what he wanted before he passed on, was to see this perfect picture. And he had looked at many other pictures of ponds and lakes and beaches and beautiful scenery. But this one picture that this older man drew for him meant everything, because it was a picture of total chaos. And in the middle of the picture was a bird singing on a twig, on a leaf. And it just looked so beautiful, just a sunshiny type of background and the bird singing, and with utter chaos of army tanks and guns and all kinds of stuff around. So it's letting us know that somewhere within ourselves we can find the love and peace that we need. So what does that have to do with why people don't work and what's going on with that? Well, one of the things that we need to understand is that work is an adult concept, number one. The work that we're talking about here. I mean, our bodies work, our muscles work every day, every hour, our muscles are working. However, work with an equal monetary payoff is what seems to be the turning point for us. You see, it's a matter of survival that people seem to lose when they get to a point in their life where they don't want to work anymore, or they work a little and then somehow the situation at their job gets sabotaged. Usually it's never that person's responsibility, but somehow or another they continuously keep losing jobs over and over again. And there's always an excuse. It's amazing how adults can come up with so many different excuses. For those of you that are calling into the show, please just hang in there for a minute. Don't go anywhere. And let me just finish this point, and I'll come right to you and get your ideas. It's amazing to me that the greatest dropout rates are seen with adult students, 30 to 55 years of age. Nobody's looking at that. You know, when I say dropout, I don't mean just dropping out of school or a vocational school or college. I'm talking about they start dropping out of life. They stop dropping out of joy. And what's interesting is when you hear people within that age group, even older, talking to younger ones,
younger persons in their family, their kids, their nieces, nephews, whatever, neighborhood kids. And I see the joy in their eyes when they're talking about education and setting goals and looking at your future. They go to churches and you know, they talk to people. I've seen them. These people who don't seem to know how to work their own goals and accomplish their own goals, but they're so eager to talk to others about it. And I don't know, in my practice, in my counseling practice, I've asked people many times, is there ever a time when you step back and you think to yourself, does this look good that I'm not finishing my goals? That I'm not working towards my goals? Does this look good? Is this what I want out of my life? And how can I change it? And that's where we start from. But you can't, when you're talking to other people, like this group of people, let's say, that just don't want to work for whatever reason, that doesn't mean that it's a negative necessarily in their minds. And indeed, it doesn't mean that they are, can I use the term, bad people, okay, or lazy people, but there's something that's going on. And we'll get down to the bottom of it. We'll talk a little bit more about it as we move on. But when you hear people who have given up on their own dreams and their goals, their motivation to work, you wonder to yourself, and believe it or not, the people listening to them, the younger people, younger students have come to me and asked me, what is it with my parents or my mother or my father that they continually push me to go to school, but they did not or do not pursue their own goals? They've always got some kind of excuse. So it's really interesting that here we are with the younger ones asking that question. Of course, most of the time they don't ask it directly, but, you know, in today's world, you know, you never know. The most common excuses are, I don't have time now that I have kids, okay? Or, you know, I raised my kids, you know, my work schedule's too busy. Oh, the most common one, I still owe student loans. I can't go back to school now. I'm way too old to start. I can't do it online because I'm not smart with computers. I got a math or reading disability. Oh, my goodness. And don't forget, things have changed. Things have changed so much. It's violent. It's hurtful out there. So I don't want to go out. So many more excuses. We've got to find out what's going on with how does mental illness even play a part in this. Depression, anxiety, personality disorder. What's going on with a person when they're continuously making these excuses? Let's pull a few people online right now and see who we have here. We have 757. Good morning. This is Dr. Applewhite.
Good morning. This is Dr. Sarah Tolliver. And
yes.
I'm very happy to be here to call into the show on this very important topic.
Thank you so much for calling in. This is about how to stop people, stop being afraid to succeed. And Dr. Tolliver, I thank you so much for calling in this morning. We've been wanting to get you on this show for a while now, and I'm sure you have some interesting things to share with us.
I actually was thinking on this topic and meditating over my years of experience of working with community college and university age population. And from a higher ed perspective, I am concerned that in reference to work, we are taking young adults out of the fast track of working for a period of sometimes 2, 3, 4, or 5 plus years while they are completing their education. Now, the intent of a degree in higher education is to work.
Mm-hmm.
And
that's right.
I'm finding that we are kind of cultivating a 4 or 5 year hiatus of time away from work. Many of these young adults may have had jobs in high school, and they were used to working, whether it was delivering pizzas or answering the phone or something productive. They enter the college environment. They are now housed in the dormitory, able to sleep at odd hours, late, and stay up late,
mm-hmm.
and basically taking them away from reality.
Mm-hmm.
Now, once they have the diploma in hand, they have this great knowledge, we're sending them out the doors into the workforce. It's almost like a culture shock.
Yes. Yes, it is.
Yes.
It is.
I think that, right, we don't spend enough time giving them the opportunity to stay viable in a work community. And then if you think about it, the nature of the employment environment changes over a period of years.
Mm-hmm.
They come, say, a 17-year-old enters college-level training at, let's say, 2009. And
mm-hmm.
at the time they graduate, there have been significant changes in the economy, in that particular profession, et cetera. And now
uh-huh.
they have been taken away from that, and now we put them back into it. It doesn't work.
Mm-hmm.
So I am proposing to you, and as well as the listening audience, that we kind of tap into ideas of how to keep young people busy during those years, with even intern or volunteer work or something. And please, I leave that open. That's an open-ended statement.
Mm-hmm. And the thing is that when we're talking about many of the students that come into my practice, we're talking about adult students. And many of the students that even you're talking about that are right out of high school, some of them are parents and have children of their own. So I use that term adult because I know that there are adult decisions that have to be made, even though there may be parents who may be enabling their children to stay at home and not go out and become independent, truly independent financially and so forth. But outside of that, I believe that most of the people that come forward and want to go to school and want to go to work and accomplish things are adults nearing maturity. Adults nearing maturity. So we have another caller online we're going to take in just a moment, Dr. Oliver. I want you to hold on just a second here, and we're just going to at least say good morning. Then we want to finish up with our subject here because we don't want to run out of time. Okay. So good morning. This is Dr. Applewhite.
Hello.
Good morning.
Good morning.
All right. How are you? Thank you. Thank you so much for calling in. Okay. Hello? Did you have something to say about the...
Yes, I did. You know, I've been thinking about going back to college myself. I'm 47 years old. But I am scared. The reason I'm scared to do it is because, like, I have two daughters in high school. Sometimes I don't even understand their homework. Let's say, like, I feel like if I go back to college, it's going to be really hard for me.
Mm-hmm.
And because of my age, I think.
Uh-huh. I see. Can you hear me? I'm sorry, I might have some technical difficulties. Can you hear me okay?
I can hear you. I cannot hear the other caller. This is Dr. Tolliver. I cannot hear the other caller, but I can hear you. Just
oh, I see. Okay. The other caller, a 47-year-old woman that is calling in and discussing the fact that she would like to return to school, but it is difficult. It is challenging for her because of her adult children. Caller, are you still there? Okay. Somehow your phone is muted, and it's very difficult for us to hear you. But we've got your story, okay? And this is a common story that's going on today, and it doesn't mean, many times people think that it means that they're lazy or not accomplishing their goals, and their family puts them down in addition to everything that they hear in the world about
what success is supposed to be. But let's start with one thing I'd like to help you to visualize. And one is that you are the only one that determines what success means to you. You, and within your own conversation with God, need to determine what pathway your life is going to take. And no one else can interfere with that conversation. So that's the first step, is what do you really want to do with your life? Because many times I find that there are adults who want to return to school for the sole purpose of proving to someone else that they can do it, or because everyone is forcing them or pushing, you know, encouraging them to do it, and they really don't want to do it. And there's no shame in that, as long as there's an acknowledgement, sincere acknowledgement, that's not the path I want to take. Can you imagine, Dr. Tolliver, I'm sure you can expound on this. Can you imagine what it would feel like if the younger person today getting out of high school, their parents had encouraged them to do what you love, the money will follow. Okay, so many of us don't do what we love and do what we enjoy to do and land up 20 years later in jobs we don't like and 20 years down the road, again, in something that you don't like or a marriage that we're not happy with. Okay? So there are a lot of different takes on that, but what do you think about that? If parents and teachers continue to help people to do what they love, to look at the careers that they enjoy, and then let them expound in that. Dr. Tolliver.
Interesting. I am working currently with a family that is experiencing some level of crisis, and just for the nature of objectivity and confidentiality, I will say that this family is consistent of two boys,
mm-hmm.
both in the mid-20s,
mm-hmm.
and the mother raised them single-handedly,
uh-huh.
and she had these two boys. One of the boys is a lead actor on a popular television show that
mm-hmm.
is taped, and he's experiencing this wonderful success as an actor,
mm-hmm.
and as well as it's just amazing that
mm-hmm.
his career has flourished in the time frame that he has.
Okay.
And he is watched weekly and attends these awards, et cetera. Okay. And
uh-huh.
her other son, was obviously experiencing some type of atypical behavior and was later discovered that it was bipolar.
Uh-huh.
However, was not diagnosed for many years. And
uh-huh.
she put a lot of pressure on him to conform and to display normalcy and normal behavior, et cetera, what we classify as normal. Now,
mm-hmm.
this son that's considered bipolar is raising an autistic child, and he's a waiter. And I would think in terms of individual success, based on the hand he's been dealt, he's successful.
Okay.
A family where you have a mother that has extreme professional success,
mm-hmm.
and there's a brother sitting there with, I don't know the awards, a Tony Award, and et cetera.
Tough.
And
it's pretty tough. You got the sibling rivalry going on, and then, of course, the societal pressure of why aren't you doing something different in your life.
The girlfriend of... as one of the America's top models, and
mm-hmm. the girlfriend
mother,
of the so-called successful one, right?
Yes, the mother.
Is that what you're talking about, right? Uh huh.
And the mother has to shift completely. She said, "I have to shift, and I go to this place in Hollywood, and I'm with this lifestyle with one son, and then
mm-hmm.
I have to shift, and I have to go to rural Florida to survive in a one-bedroom." apartment with my other son, just been time with him, and the family crisis. So when we measure success from societal standpoint, okay, the son is making all the money and everything is successful one, but I don't know, is that so?
Is that what?
Would that be so? I mean, we have different definitions of success. And by society's perspective, the son that has the most money and has, I guess, the flourishing work life is the successful one. And that may not be so.
Right, exactly, because success is in the eye of the beholder. And again, back to what I was speaking about earlier, the first step in my counseling practice and is to help them look at why they really want to succeed at school and at work, okay? That's number one. We have someone else on the line. I want to just make sure I get her comments coming in. Is that the 602 number here? We have a 418. Hello? Hello, good morning. This is Dr. Applewhite. Good morning. Okay, I'm still not getting a reading here. One moment, I don't want to have any big technical problems here this morning. Okay. All right, good morning. Is this a 602-697?
Good morning.
Right. Right, did you want to state your name and anything that you wanted to say about the conversation that we're having about being afraid to succeed and... Hello? There's a lot of distraction in the background there at this number. Okay. I'll come. Are you ready to speak? Okay, just hold on, please. Okay, Dr. Thomas, are you there?
I'm here. Dr. Tolliver is here.
Dr. Tolliver, thank you. Okay. All right,
are you,
I'm getting this echo here, I'm trying to. Are you guys okay with my voice?
Not really.
There's some distortion in the background there, but it seems to get better.
Okay, hopefully it will get better right now. Okay, thank you so much for hanging in there during this time. Okay, so now where we were with the excuses and the factor that Dr. Tolliver's given us an example of two young men and the differences between the two brothers in the same home. And this was it's a great premise for us to work off of because we need to understand that I was saying something to the effect of mental illness playing some part in why some people accept the label of disabled and say, well, I can't work. I can't work because I don't understand what it's going to take. And it just seems so hard. And because many times they have a bipolar or personality disorder, this may be a real great excuse for not wanting to go to work. But I want you to really keep in mind that when I say excuse, I don't mean reason, because there are sometimes chronic situations in every diagnosis of mental health that may require that just really truly become a reason for someone not to be able to go to work. So I don't want the assumption to be made that I'm saying just because someone is diagnosed with mental illness that they should all that everybody should work. Okay, is that clear with everybody? Is that all right?
Yes, it is.
Okay, all right. So because the young man that you're talking about had has been diagnosed with bipolar disorder and having a tough time going to work, your question really is, how do we determine success? How does he determine success? And whether or not, you know, maybe we're making a judgment. Maybe we're saying, you know, they don't want to work, and we're not really clear in our minds about what we want them to do. What does success really mean to them? Do we really ask people who don't want to work, especially those that are coming from the perspective that they started a goal. They started maybe school, and they have student loans, and they have pressures at home. They have a lot of things going on all the time, utter chaos, and they never can seem to get things together in their life so that they can work
and go to school successfully. So what do we do with that? How do we tell them where to start? Number one, I already mentioned one, and that is finding out their definition of what they call success. So you see, Dr. Tolliver, back to your example of that young man, we would have to go back to him and ask him what it would be. You know what I'm saying?
Yes.
Right.
Absolutely.
Because, you know, if his determination is to be successful in just being there, living off of his brother's money, then he's successful in reaching that goal, is he? When you think about it. If someone comes to your home with the intention of not working and not taking care of their responsibility, then that was their goal that they set, and they succeeded at that goal. You see, one of the things that I've watched throughout the years, and please feel free to interject at any moment, but one of the things that I've found is a lot of times when people are not working their so-called job, what we call a successful job, many times I find that they are working at being unemployed. Okay? There's a job in that. There's a job in the young woman, and I'm not talking about the young woman who truly needs food stamps or welfare assistance. Okay? I'm talking about one who may be using that, the situation of her children and her life, as an excuse. Okay? So keep in mind that's who I'm talking about here. And that person must sit for hours sometimes in many offices, fill out paperwork, make phone calls. So it's not so easy to stay unemployed either. So there's work involved. There's some energy output one way or another. But whether or not it's producing something is the key. And what do we want it to produce? Does that make sense, Dr. Tolliver?
It makes a lot of sense.
Mm-hmm.
And I do know that we are existing in a society that is basically your worth is contingent upon your monetary value and contribution back to society.
Mm-hmm.
And we're overlooking the, as you maintain, the effort, time, the emotional energy, and basically the skill required in either maintaining unemployment or maintaining a roof over your head and food on the table of some kind.
Mm-hmm.
And again, I end the statement, I'm not encouraging a lifestyle of welfareism. I'm not encouraging that.
Mm-hmm.
I am saying that we are overlooking possibly a viable part of our population that some situations through no fault of their own, that is their existence. And who are we to be in the judgment?
Mm-hmm. Absolutely.
Wow.
And one of the things that we need to keep in mind as we go through, and I've mentioned it a couple of times, I don't want to overlook explaining what I meant when I said that there are some people who don't work or don't go to school and finish what they started because of student loans. And the reason why I think that's real important, I think probably maybe 20% of the students that I've worked with don't return to school because they have defaulted student loans. And they're not even aware of how to go about straightening them out and making some kind of negotiating some kinds of terms with the Department of Education. So I'm encouraging those that are thinking that you don't have a way out to return to school or whatever. I'm encouraging you, contact us at White Apple Institute, and we'll be glad to help you. Go to our website at whiteappleinstitute.org and see if we can help you out with presenting your case so that you can continue to fulfill your goals. And on the other hand, I wanted to make sure that people are aware that there are those with very, very severe disabilities. We have to give kudos, applause for their efforts, in addition to myself even, for rolling up sleeves and going and getting those degrees and certificates and going to school and work and becoming productive in our society. So we have lots of role models, don't we, Dr. Tolliver?
Yes.
Hello?
Role models are very important.
Yes, we have many role models. I mean, you're one.
Yeah. Oh, thank you.
You're one. Because I met you many years ago in a workshop we were doing on disability issues. Okay? And I remember your presentation. And I was always impressed by that. And I thank you so much for joining the show today, giving your input there. I do hope that I've been very, very clear on the fact that we do have a number of things that we can do to help people. And one of the things that I wanted to elaborate a little bit more on is the fact that the world has changed so much, and you alluded a little bit to that when you first came on. The world has changed so much that it has become a scary place for many people, especially the older adult, the more mature adult, looking back at their school years and comparing it to what it's like right now. And it becomes a real scary place. And so we have to find ways to help them adjust to a changing world and take that first step out, especially when we're talking about the fact that people can go to school online. And the common excuse for that is, I don't know how to work the computer very well. We can help with that, too. So have you heard a lot of excuses, Dr. Tolliver? Especially when people drop out. Have you heard a lot of excuses when people drop out?
I hear every possible imaginable, from finances to unwillingness to work to I just can't even give you a simple synopsis of that answer other than a resounding yes.
Yes.
It's
right. Because, I mean, they're there. They're there. But there's a difference. Did you follow me on that? A difference between a reason and an excuse? You know?
Exactly.
To me, and I'm just defining it, but this is my own connotation, my own meaning, okay, is that the excuse is not a reality. It is not based on fact. There are reasons why people really, truly can't go to work and have difficulties finishing school. But on the all in all, I'm really concerned about the people that don't have anything that's external or even internal going on with them, even with the diagnosis.
Thank you, Dr. Applewhite. Okay.
Yes.
Here we go. The internal. And part of my consulting, part of the particular organization that I founded, Williams
mm-hmm.
Educational Consulting, and motivation and actually internal challenges, whether they be related to an undiagnosed mental illness, or like you hit on before, personality disorder,
mm-hmm.
and or basically being socialized into this apathy and lack of willingness to pursue
mm-hmm.
employment. There are mentors available in every community. However,
yes.
if you see yourself as having more differences and similarities,
mm-hmm.
are you going to be able to follow that path? The answer
Good
is no.
Point.
Exactly.
Very, very good point, because it is a matter of wanting. Networking is very, very important in today's world. If you don't get out, you can't meet people. You can't understand what's going on in your changing world. And so it's important to do that. It's important to work on allowing the love that we can remember, the love that we can derive, even in our world now, and remembering our love for God, and helping ourselves. This starts within, to become stronger so that we can make a decision, take that step, to start networking with others, to start setting some goals, and looking at what is different now than before. And I like what you said about differences and similarities, that they look, that many people that don't want to get out and do things, Dr. Tolliver, are those that find more differences among people than similarities. Was that your point?
Exactly. And I share it when I do my workshops, and please, I'm open to accepting invitations for speaking on my personal story, and I won't share so much of that today in sake of time, in respect to time. However, I will say
we could use your website, definitely. I want the listeners out there be able to get in touch with you. Okay?
Yes. I will definitely provide that for you. However, mm-hmm. I will say that in terms of similarity and differences, my formal education was the secondary school education consisted of an environment where I was often the only minority child, and I was from a Baptist family. I was at
mm-hmm.
a Catholic school. I lived in the east side of town.
Uh-huh.
My parents were janitors.
Uh-huh.
There were absolutely no similarities whatsoever.
Uh-huh.
And now that I am approaching the later part of my adulthood, I sit back and I often reflect and I say to myself, there was every single reason for me to not have a PhD.
Mm-hmm.
There's not a rationale for me to have a doctorate, for me to be able to be in the position I am now.
Yes, I totally understand.
There's an internal working going on. There was a motivation. There was a passion. There was a desire. There was a seed planted somewhere that needed to grow that did not get impaired over the years. And
mm-hmm.
that's what I try to share, because a lot of people, they understand that they want to make it in life and they want to be successful. They get that part of it.
Right.
They don't get, okay, now, what pattern do I have to follow to get there? A traditional
mm-hmm.
pattern may not work for everybody. Now, this
right.
is what this is where I hone in on my adult learners who say, I'm too old.
Right.
Okay, follow a traditional pattern would be a young adult that leaves high school at somewhere around 17 or 18 years old and enters higher education.
Uh-huh.
It doesn't always work that way. Your pattern may be that you left high school and you worked and you managed a McDonald's for 5 years before you went
mm-hmm.
to college or
mm-hmm.
longer. It could be that you started your family and you nurtured your family before you began your education.
Mm-hmm.
Because if you had followed any other pattern, you may not be able to be successful at higher education.
Okay.
The look on my students' faces when I say that, it's like, when I say that, you could drop a feather, and it was
you could hear it. That's right. Right. Absolutely.
Yeah.
Well, I definitely appreciate you sharing that. Tell us a little bit before I recap on our discussion this morning. We've got about 15 minutes left on our show, and I wanted you to talk a little bit since this was I do want to arrange a time when we can actually go through the kinds of things you do teach in your workshop, so we're going to have to arrange a show around that. But tell us a little bit about your life and your work right now and how we can get in touch with you.
Well, my area and my passion and basically is relates directly to my doctoral research, which was understanding the experiences of women and graduate student stress and lack of marital social support.
Okay, you try that one more time, Dr. Tolliver, please.
I'm interested in understanding the experiences of women,
uh-huh.
graduate student stress, and lack
uh-huh.
of marital social support.
Wow, okay, all right.
Yeah, and I think women have very unique experiences and may have very unique experiences of stress. It is in the scholarly literature, and several authors maintain that women have a sensitivity to stress.
Yes, absolutely.
Further is that women often experience multiple roles and multiple responsibilities while they are attempting to complete their
mm-hmm.
education.
Right.
That's a unique experience, and there's so many challenges because women juggle family, mothering, mother, nurturer, provider, meaning work, education.
Absolutely, and we see that, and of course, and we also see today. I don't want to, for a moment, take away from the kudos that I want to give to the fathers out there that take a part in raising their children. It's very, very important that we acknowledge that there are those out there that do those same things and do a wonderful job. But on a whole, the majority is still back to women as the, unfortunately, they have become the breadwinners. They have to work and take care of the family, all of the family responsibilities many, many times. And it's so important that now we have this movement going on, and I'm sure you're aware of it, of all of the atrocities that are happening to women around the world. And I just want to give kudos to all of the people that are working very hard to bring awareness to women's rights and issues around the world, and their right to go to school and to become part of a community, a productive part of a community. So I hats off, applause to all those organizations. And Dr. Tolliver, you have an organization yourself, and how do people get in touch with you if they wanted to talk about the aspects of womanhood in relationship to succeeding in life?
Well, basically, you can follow me at Twitter. I'm at the Twitter, Dr. Sarah Tolliver. I'm easy to find. Fortunately, on Facebook, that's social networking. The
uh-huh.
title of my agency is Williams Educational Consulting.
Okay.
And it's basically williamsed.com.
Uh-huh.
Very easy to locate. And I am more than happy to work with individuals, groups, and organizations that aspire to develop programs or have an earnest understanding of how to develop and cultivate the educational experiences of women in relation to health and wellness, managing stress, family, et cetera. And I have a personal interest in the subject, and I have a professional interest.
All right. Wonderful. Well, one of the things all our students and teachers out there want to take note of is that we always have some of the greatest people coming on the show and speaking their mind about different things. So I would like to know if that 47-year-old woman is still online here in our group discussion, because I wanted to find out if she had felt a sense of growth throughout the show. Is she still there? I'm not sure. Okay.
I'm still here.
Okay, there you are. Okay. Oh, ma'am, did you find a sense of accomplishment in what you heard this today?
Yes, I did. I will be looking at the website, Dr. Applewhite, because my son wants to return to school also, but because of student loans, that's holding him back.
I see. Okay, wonderful, wonderful. All of our listeners out there, I want you to remember, this is just the tip of the iceberg here that we're talking about today, about why some people won't work. And we're not talking about just work, just temporary jobs, day labor jobs. No, we're talking about work and producing, too, so that they can survive in our society and reach whatever level of success that they define as success. And remember that we discussed visualizing, going inside of ourselves and having a conversation with God about what we define as success. I want to reinforce that we as individuals, when we're looking at why we don't work, to examine what is an excuse in our life and what is truly a reason, okay? Because we're the ones who can do that. And being honest with ourselves about whether or not I'm making an excuse because the doctor diagnosed me with bipolar disorder, or I have ADHD, or I'm dyslexic, and that's why I can't go forward. That's an excuse. Sorry, I got to tell you that. That's Doc Apple talking. That's an excuse. Because there are ways around it. Returning back to school, we have so many resources to help you. So don't let that stop you. You had something, somebody had something to say? Just let me finish this one circle here. The other part is finances. Don't let finances stop you. If you're interested in the student loan issue and trying to resolve that, negotiate, or whether or not you're not sure about whether or not you want to take out a student loan and you just don't know how to start school, let us help you with that bridge, okay? And don't let age stop you. Don't let your skill level stop you, because there are so many, again, resources out there to help. But you've got to get in touch with them. You've got to start networking. You've got to make a decision that that's what you want to do. And trust. Trust that voice within. So, Dr. Soliver, something you want to add to that at the end here?
I think that basically your point is well taken, and I agree with you that the resources are there.
Mm-hmm.
We have to put the internal wheels in motion, and if a person determines that they have a weakness, then their measure of strength is finding help.
Mm-hmm. And as we can't help but going back and saying again, for those that are great encouragement, serve as a great encouragement in our churches and our neighborhoods, more mature adults who can talk about their goals, and I want them to understand that we want you to continue sharing that. But we also want you to be aware that that young people listening to you are still reflecting back on what you're saying. So if you're saying you didn't finish and you have a trail of excuses about why you didn't, remember that they're listening and they're discerning what you're saying. So remember that you can go back to school at any time and finish whatever it is that you wanted to finish, okay? Just make a plan up. Take the step, call somebody, get some support. Call us, contact us at White Apple Institute, or contact Dr. Sarah Toliver if you're a woman and in a circumstance where you need some motivation to get going.
Dr. Apple, it's not hard to get back into school. It's because of my age. Who's going to want to hire a 50-year-old compared to a 20-year-old? Because I've gone out to try to even just to look for a job. And, of course, the younger girl always gets it.
Uh-huh.
So that's another.
Age is a factor. We can, again, and there's a really, really fine line there because, I mean, when we talk about age and we talk about skill level, and then we, you know, we make up our minds, okay, we're 47, 48, whatever, 55, and we're going to go back out in the workforce and really do something. And then you get slapped down with just what you're talking about, those types of situations. They're there, and they're always going to be there. And that's why it's important to learn how to truly sell your skills. You have to know your skills, and then you have to know how to sell them. And that's why the resume becomes such a valuable tool, whether someone asks for it or not. It's a good idea for everybody to put one together. It's like a picture of your life and your experiences. So I encourage you to start with trying to put together some of the skills and qualifications that you feel you have. Without any reservation, just begin to write them down. And then focus on those and try to find the job descriptions that match some of the things that you really love to do and some of the things that you have experience doing.
Okay.
okay, versus going and applying for jobs where the competition is so great on the other end of people that are younger,
yeah,
that can lift and throw those boxes around, okay?
Yeah.
I hope that helped a little bit.
Yes. Yeah.
Any other comments?
Not for me on my end, but I just wanted to tell you that I felt like today's discussion was valuable. I do look forward to at some point coming back. I'm going to have to leave you at this point. But I'm so grateful at the opportunity to be able to be a part of the show today, Dr. Applewhite.
Yes, thank you so much. You certainly, I know that you've touched lives out there. Okay. As we close today, thank you, Sarah Tolliver, for joining us this morning, and we'll be having her back on the show again later on. I want to make sure that I definitely talk a little bit about what's going on with our veterans. If you are right now just recently out of service and you need assistant medical assistance or anything, please make sure you check out your local VA hospital. I can tell you now, forget the war stories. You get some good care there. So I just want to put some kudos out there for that. If you have any comments back on that, we're open to listening to them on the Student to Teacher show as we all grow together. Because that's what we're doing. We're growing together. If you're a person who likes to receive knowledge, you enjoy learning, then you are a student. If you are one who likes to share knowledge, then you are also a teacher. So we are all at varying times in our lives, students and teachers. So never forget that. I do want to ask that as we continue through this week, and hopefully I'll hear back from you next week, that you focus on helping not only yourself, but another person in your life to stop being afraid to succeed. To stop being afraid to define what success means, regardless of disability, regardless of finances. Step up to the plate for yourself. We close the show this morning with music from Wes Ricks. And Wes Ricks has a wonderful album out. And I think that it's worth giving kudos to. Wes Ricks is a flute player, and we certainly appreciate him sharing his music with us, and also Nazim Rashid in his River Now album, always willing to share his music with our students. So we thank you, Wes Ricks, from your album, Two Worlds.